Now, I want today to consider this illustration again. We looked at it in a general sense the last time, but I want to take out some of these examples that Paul uses here in relation to the appointments within the New Testament church. And the first he begins with in verse 11 is that of the apostles. If you cast your mind back to the last time we looked at this passage, we considered the fact that there are some offices that are temporary and there are others that are abiding. They continue in the church right to the end of the age. It's my aim today to prove this assertion from the scripture in relation to the apostles' office. This was a gift that Christ gave for the benefit of the church, the office of the apostles. But it was not intended to continue. And therefore, it's emphasizing the fact that not everybody has the same function within the body of Christ. Paul is illustrating this. He's saying concerning the apostles now, they were given by Christ, but there were only a selected few in comparison to the many members of the body. There's only a selective few who were chosen to be apostles. Their office was only temporary. Now that's very important to recognize. Some may think that's really just an irrelevant issue, but that's where I would beg to differ with them. The failure to grasp that temporary nature of the apostolic office has given rise to serious errors that have troubled the church in the past and even in the present. First great error that has arisen is that of the papacy. The structure of the papacy is based upon the claim that the office and the authority of the apostleship continues in a line of successors. The papacy teaches that Christ conferred upon Peter a supremacy over his fellow apostles. It claims that Peter became the Bishop of Rome, and when he died in that office, his supremacy automatically passed to his successor, thereby establishing the primacy of all successive bishops of Rome. In other words, the supreme apostolic power rests in the successor of Peter as the Bishop of Rome. The Pope's claim today is based upon this teaching of apostolic succession, teaching us that this office of apostle continues in the church. It hasn't ceased, it continues. And it's manifested in the Bishop of Rome, the Pope himself, and every successor in that office. But if we can prove from Scripture that the office of apostle was temporary and endured only as long as the life of the man whom Christ initially appointed, then the unique authority which Christ gave to the apostles has also ceased. Do you see the implication? Do you see why it's important to grasp this temporary nature of the apostolic office? The edifice of the papacy crumbles, and it is revealed as a colossal fraud when we establish the temporary nature of the office of apostle. But there's another threat also that has arisen to the church, and it comes from the charismatic movement. And that's a movement that claims to be a resurrection of apostolic supernaturalism, the recreation of the signs and wonders which the apostles did. And we do not deny for one moment that the apostles performed signs and wonders and great miracles. We do not deny that in any way. But the charismatic movement has resurrected this claim of apostolic supernaturalism, that these signs and wonders and miracles wrought by the apostles continue in the church today. And as a consequence, we have men who claim to be apostles, and they claim that they have the same supernatural power and the same, which the reason for that is that they want that to confirm that they have supernatural revelation. But if we can show from Scripture that the signs and wonders were given exclusively to apostles, and that the office of apostle has ceased, then we will be able to show that the modern charismatic movement is a counterfeit. And it is none other than that great deception which the apostles themselves prophesied should come in the end days. And so we have our task set out for us. We're looking at this office of apostle. Does it continue? Are there apostles today? Does that office abide in the church? Or was it temporary? Was it only for a certain time and for a certain purpose? Well, I've already stated my position on this, and it is that the office of apostle has ceased. And the reason for that, the reason for its temporary nature, is based upon a number of characteristics. And the first of those characteristics is this: that the apostles received an extraordinary call to their office, in that they were commissioned directly by the Lord Jesus himself. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, and let's underline these verses in the Bible. Luke chapter 6 and verse number 13. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. I want you to see this. They were called directly by Christ, and they were named apostles. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 5 adds this detail: then these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were sent. Now, that's very interesting. What does the name or the title apostle mean? It comes from the verb that's used in Matthew 10 verse 5 that's translated to send. An apostle, the literal meaning is this: someone who is sent. Someone who is sent. The apostles were called directly, immediately by Christ in the flesh. And he sent them. He sent them forth. John chapter 20 and verse 21 bears this out. Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. He was speaking to the apostles. I am sending you forth. The apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 1, he tells us, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. In other words, he's saying, I have received my call, my commission, by divine authority, no human intervention, no calling by man, no sending by man. I was sent by the Lord. Now, that differs from the ordinary and the abiding offices within the church. If we take that of the ruling elders and the teaching elders, the pastors and teachers, and those men are brought into their office by the call of the people, by the call of the congregation. The congregation calls a man to be a minister, and it calls men to be elders, ruling elders. And those men are then ordained by the presbytery and set apart to that office. Well, the apostles had no such call. They were called directly and immediately by Christ, and they were sent by him. And therefore, when you take that characteristic, it is impossible for there to be any apostles today, because Christ is not here in the flesh. He called 12. Judas fell, and then Matthias replaced him, and then the Lord added to that Paul the apostle. And he sent these men forth as apostles at that time. But there's another characteristic that distinguishes this office from the others, and it is that the apostles were called to be witnesses, eyewitnesses of the Lord's ministry, and especially his resurrection. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Someone might ask you, what is an apostle? And I hope that you don't give the answer that one wee lad gave in Sunday school. He said that the apostle, or when he was asked about an epistle, he said an epistle is the wife of an apostle. But I hope when you're asked the question, what is an apostle, you'll be able to bring people to the scriptures and say, well, apostles were chosen directly by Christ and sent by him. That's what the word apostle means, to send, sent, someone sent by the Lord. But furthermore, they were sent as eyewitnesses of his resurrection. Luke 24 and verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Talking to the apostles, you're witnesses of my resurrection. Then, when you come to Acts chapter 1, this is a key passage in relation to the nature of the office of apostle. Acts chapter 1, verse 21, finds the need now to replace the office that Judas vacated by his transgression. And Peter stands in the midst, and he rehearses the situation, and he says, concerning this vacancy, he quotes the scripture in verse 20, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. The word there, bishopric, is coming from the Anglican interpretation, which was very prominent when the translators of the Authorized Version were doing their sterling work of translating the Bible. And one of the key requirements was that they retain the old ecclesiastical terms of, as a bishop. But the word here means his oversight or his overseeship. And here Peter's quoting from the Old Testament that Judas who fell, his office must be filled by another. And so he says in verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And when they applied the qualifications, only two men met the qualifications. Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they brought the matter to the Lord. They asked the Lord to show. And the Lord indicated that it was to be Matthias. Verse 26, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. He was numbered with the 11. Now, just in case someone might say, that he was not one of the company. He is clearly referred to elsewhere as one of the 12. If you look at chapter 6 of Acts and verse number 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the apostles or the disciples unto them. I want you to see in Acts chapter 1, he was numbered with the 11 apostles, and he became an apostle. And he is referred to there in Acts 6 and verse 2 as the 12. He was one of the 12 chosen by the Lord. What was their purpose? They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection. And you can go through the Acts of the apostles in those early days of ministry. And you can see that they were bearing witness to the resurrection of Christ. Think of Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and verse number 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. They're bearing witness now that Jesus was risen from the dead. They were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. They saw the Lord risen from the dead. They saw him in his resurrected body. And they were able to go and tell others, we have seen the Lord. They saw the Lord in his resurrected body. In the case of Paul, we find that Paul was not qualified to bear witness from personal knowledge of the Savior before his resurrection. But in order to fit him for that office, the Lord appeared to him on the Damascus Road. And Paul bears witness to that. Acts 22, Acts 26. But if you turn to 1 Corinthians 15 especially, this is when Paul's apostleship was being questioned. People were questioning whether he was really an apostle or not. They were doubting his position. And so he emphasizes his credentials. 1 Corinthians 15. He outlines what the gospel is. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Verse 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Notice that, the 12. Matthias is an apostle. Don't let anybody suggest otherwise. He's one of the 12. He's an apostle. And notice that number is complete now. These men who accompanied the Lord from the day he was baptized by John in the River Jordan to the day that he ascended up into heaven. He is numbered among the 12. Verse 6, after that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. He's establishing his credentials on the Damascus Road. He saw the risen Lord. He saw Christ. It wasn't a vision. It wasn't a dream. It was an actual appearance of Christ in his resurrected body. And Paul saw the Lord, but he was the last person to see the Lord. The last person, last of all, he was seen of me. Doesn't happen again. Somebody comes to you and says, I saw the Lord. The Lord appeared to me. No, he didn't. Because the Bible tells me that the last physical appearance of Christ took place on the Damascus Road when the Lord was seen by Saul of Tarsus. And the Lord did that. It was unique. The Lord did that in order to make Paul an eyewitness of the resurrection. Because the Lord had called him to be an apostle. And so you see, it's not possible today for there to be apostles. Apostles were called directly by Christ, sent by him, and they were eyewitnesses of his resurrection. Furthermore, to the apostles was given a supernatural revelation of the truth of God. These men were called directly by Christ. They accompanied him. They witnessed his ministry. They heard his teaching. And in doing so, the apostles received the truth directly from the Lord's lips. Directly from him. Just the way that I'm talking to you now. And you hear my voice. The apostles received the word directly from Christ. Now, there's three verses in John's Gospel that we should know and memorize and underline in this connection. Turn to John chapter 14. They all took place, they were all spoken on the eve of the Lord's death. John chapter 14 and verse 26. The Lord is talking about departing from them. And when he departs, the Comforter will come. Verse 26, John 14. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now just stop there. The apostles were chosen by Christ. They accompanied him. They sat at his feet. They listened to him. And he gave to them the word. And now he's saying that when he departs from them into heaven, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will bring to their remembrance what Christ said. Nothing new. He's going to bring to their remembrance what they heard from the lips of Christ. Now come into chapter 15 of John's Gospel and verse 15. And here's the follow on. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Underline that last part of the verse. The Lord says to his apostles, I have made known everything. I have given you a full revelation. There's nothing more to follow. There's nothing more to follow. It's complete. It's complete. So when a Mormon comes to your door and hands you the Book of Mormon, and according to the teaching of that sect, they believe this was given at a later stage. It was lost for many years until eventually it was discovered by Joseph Smith. When an angel came and gave him these golden plates, and then he wrote out the Book of Mormon. Well, let me tell you this. The Lord said, I have given all things to my apostles during those 3.5 years. A full revelation. There's nothing more to be added. It's complete. And then in verse 27 of chapter 15, the Lord says to his apostles, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So the apostles are not going to give us any new revelation. They're just going to give us what Christ gave them, what he told them during the 3.5 years. They will bear witness to that revelation. They were set apart by Christ. And the Lord spoke to them his truth. And it was borne witness by the apostles. Matthew chapter 28, when the Lord now sends them out into all the world, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." You've got to go and teach men to observe what I have told you, what I have revealed to you, what I've spoken unto you. Ephesians chapter 3 bears this out. Paul says in the verse number 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." The word mystery there means that which the mind of man cannot find out by itself. But now that truth is revealed. It is revealed by Christ to his apostles. And the apostles gave to us that full revelation. That's why the apostles are referred to as the foundation. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, he says in verse 20, "Ye are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets." Not the men themselves. What Paul is referring to here is the truth that the apostles bore witness to. They heard it from Christ. They received it from Christ. They bore witness to that truth. And they were laying that truth as the foundation upon which the church is built. The truth of God, revealed by Christ to his apostles. Their ministry was foundational. You do not start to build the foundation when you're putting on the ridge tiles. And I'm using the analogy purposefully. And what I mean by that is, why do you need apostles today when their ministry is complete? They laid the foundation. The foundation is already laid in the teaching ministry of the apostles, bearing witness to the truth that Christ revealed unto them. They laid the foundation upon which our faith rests. Now that brings us to one final thought, and it's this, that supernatural power was given to them to perform miracles as a confirmation of that message, that revelation. The supernatural power to perform great miracles, it was manifest in Matthew 10 when the Lord sent them out the first time throughout Israel. Verse 1, "When he called unto them his 12 apostles, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." They had this power to do these things. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 12, Paul, when he's dealing with or responding to those who questioned his apostleship, he gives this argument. He says, "Well, the signs of an apostle were wrought by me." That's an interesting passage. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 12. "Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." The apostles were given power to work signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And Paul says, I had this power. That confirmation was upon my ministry. We don't have time to go through the book of Acts, but you can do that yourself and you'll find that the apostles had this divine confirmation. Let's maybe just use one or two examples. Acts 14, verse 3. Acts 14 and verse 3. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. By their hands. I want to emphasize that. By the laying on of their hands. Now, if you take Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Acts chapter 8 and verse 14. When the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered the money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now the point is this. They laid hands on the people and they received the Holy Ghost. But it was the apostles' hands. Do you see that? The apostles' hands. Some would try to object to this by bringing us to verse 6. Whenever Philip came to Samaria, he preached Christ. Verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And they say, well, there's Philip. Philip wasn't an apostle, but he's able to perform these miracles. But, go back to chapter 6 of Acts. And Philip was among those men who were set apart as the first deacons. Seven men full of the Holy Ghost. And we read there, verse number 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Philip was a man on whom the apostles had laid their hands. And the Lord gave him that power likewise to perform those miracles. But the apostles do not exist today. They are not with us today. They are not present today. That supernatural power, that supernatural ability was given to the apostles. And when the apostles died, that office ceased. And therefore the supernatural confirmation also ceased. How do we know this? Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And follow Paul's order. Follow the order here. This is very important. Verse 3. He talks about this great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. So it was revealed by Christ. And it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Who heard the Lord physically? It was the apostles. And they bore witness. They confirmed his message to us. Verse 4, God also bearing them, who? The apostles, witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. God gave this supernatural demonstration of power to confirm the message that the apostles were bearing witness to. Theirs was a unique office, only for a certain time. And when those men died, that office of apostles ceased. The message continues. The foundation of the message is still laid, but the office ceased. And therefore that divine confirmation of supernatural miracles wrought by the apostles also ceased. Now be careful. We are not saying that God has ceased to perform miracles. That's not what we're saying. God is the same, and God can perform miracles. But what we're saying is this: he no longer does it through the hands of men. Those miracles and signs and wonders were performed by the laying on of the hands of the apostles. And when they died, their office ceased, and that supernatural confirmation upon their ministry and through them ceased. God hasn't ceased to be the same miracle-working God. But those signs and wonders were given as a confirmation upon the office of the apostle and their message. And we need to be clear about that. We're living in an age that has witnessed great technology advancements. And those advancements can be good in many ways, but they can also be a great curse, because they have opened up the avenues and opened up the channel for all kinds of spurious teaching and doctrine to be made accessible to the people through the media, through satellite, through television. And we have men today who are claiming to be apostles, and they want you and I to believe them because they claim that they can perform miracles and they can perform great signs and wonders. And you've only to switch on some of these religious channels and you'll see this. You know, you can buy miracle water. And if you buy this bottle of water, it's going to heal all your ailments and all your illnesses. And we have men in these great meetings where they're laying hands on people. And they're doing all these things in order to set themselves up as being some kind of agent with supernatural revelation. The Bible teaches that the apostles were the foundation. Christ revealed his truth to them. He confirmed it with signs and wonders. And they laid the foundation. And once they ceased, once they died, that office with its supernatural confirmation ceased also. But the foundation of the faith remains. And it is upon this foundation that we rest. We take everything to the book. We take everything to the book. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. We bring every doctrine to the foundation that has been laid. And if it's not in the book, then we cast it aside. We have nothing to do with it. We keep to this book. And when we keep to this book, then we shall be safe and we shall be secure. The Lord gave the apostles for this reason. But their office was only temporary. And once they died, then that ministry. That office ceased, but their work carries on, the work that they have led in the Scriptures of truth. Let's turn to 570 as we close. 570. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. 570, and we'll stand together as we sing.